Peace, 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 but there shall be no peace. The words of our Father, spoken in a prophetic way, whereby man could know and understand what would befall him and his people in the end times. We're going to talk about that, and even as we speak, Jerusalem, the old city, the six-day war of 67 continues on. The whole world surrounds and looks on as the talks go forward and mire down, go forward and mire down. It is ironic that the shades of the old Stern gang would come forward, the wanted picture of Shamir from the King David Hotel massacre, as well as the death of one head of the United Nations or an equivalent group, and all this old time things of the past come forward, but still we move ahead. They are talking. And I, for one, believe that it was the divine will of God, else I do not think they would have ever gotten together. I considered it an impossibility for the Palestinians and for Israel to sit down at the same table and speak as they are at this time. So, God is in it. That puts up many red flags that take us to a new benchmark. For truly, after the Cold War is dispelled between Esau and Jacob, which is to say between Russia and America, now we have that city, and that's the city you're supposed to watch. Always watch Jerusalem, the city of peace. You're all familiar with it, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is writing here in both books of Thessalonians, both the first and the second, have to do with, the subject is the return of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, to this earth, and the events that would be transpiring, and yes, even that would consummate the end of this age, whereby you could know what would befall your people. And Paul states very clearly, and I'm sure that we could all quote this without even reading it from the Word. But of the times, Paul says, and he has just finished the seventh trump in that fourth chapter, and Christ returning to this earth with a shout and the change made. And then he says concerning the return of Christ, chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. The indication is you should know it. You should know the times and the seasons. Not the day, but the times and the seasons. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Meaning the day itself unannounced. Unannounced. And then in verse 3, for when they shall say, what is the sign? For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Who is them? It's important that you know who is them. The enemies of God, not you, a child of God. There's no destruction going to befall you. There is no pain going to befall you. Then, quite the contrary, the enemies of God. It helps a great deal to know who they are. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, period. There shall be no escape for them, the enemies of God. Now, there are many things that must transpire before that day comes. We know that they will cry, peace, peace, peace. There's a great deal of time between that verse, not overall, I'm not talking thousands of years, but many events, let's pace it in that manner, many events must take place. You can't get the cart before the horse. You got to be patient and take things as they come, as they are written in God's Word, for that is exactly how it shall happen. We know from the book of Daniel, you don't have to turn there, you all are familiar with it, chapter 8, verse 25, I believe it is, for the Antichrist, this one understanding dark sentences, shall come in how? Peacefully, and shall destroy many with peace. The proper translation will be, he will deceive many with peace. So when you see the nations surrounding Jerusalem and crying peace and talking peace, praise God. It is a sign. But there shall be no peace made by man, for there is only one Prince of Peace, and that is the Son of the living God, which is to say, Christ himself. And you will not find peace in any other than him. There's going to be a false peace come upon this world. There will be absence of war of the arm. That is to say, absent, I'll put it in this respect, absent of war with material things, such as bombs, flamethrowers, pistoleros, infantrymen, this sort of thing. But that's when the real war really starts. For it will be a much higher, it'll be a very high-tech war. High-tech in the sense that it is spiritual, and the very missiles themselves must have been prepared in your mind before the fact from the Word of God. The blueprint to building missiles for God is here in my hand. It is His Word, which is a sharp sword. And that sword cuts both ways. And quite frankly, our platform has a great deal to do with that sword. And it must cut. And it must heal. It must slash. And yet at the same time, it must bring comfort. It must thrust. But it must bring healing. And you can only understand that definition and that terminology by understanding the gospel armor and the spiritual warfare that is truly. That is why it is written in Daniel 8:25, He shall destroy many by peace. For he that brings the false peace shall indeed bring lies, deception, false worship. He shall bring the great apostasy, the falling away. All it takes is for the one world system, not some man, but the one world system to receive a deadly wound. It has not happened, nor do I think it will happen through the meetings that are presently being held, but I must warn you, it could. It could. If they were to fall apart tomorrow, could that be the deadly wound? Not necessarily, but it could. For we are near enough now with the, I'll use this phrase, terminology, that the cards are on the table, the flags of warning are up for those that should know, and you'd better be watching Jerusalem. Again, I reiterate, I do not think so, but I must warn you, we are close enough that it could be. What is that deadly wound? It is the total falling apart of the so-called nations as they gather and look towards Jerusalem in corresponding or commerce or dealings with each other to the point that there would be no hope for peace, but probably most likely the other type of war, that they would combat each other. That would be the deadly wound to the peace system. How does peace receive a wound? By going to war. There can be no peace present in a war. So, what heals the deadly wound? You all know it by heart. I hope you do. The appearance as Michael cast, instead of Jesus, out of the heavens, and with supernatural power shall he heal that wound. By that I simply mean have the nations come back together as he performs miracles in the sight of man on this earth. People go nuts over any new frill, all right? It's the easiest thing in the world. You show the general population something that is mystical, difficult to understand, but against nature itself, that is to say, to go contrary against nature itself, and they are awed by it. It's nature. But when they see this one that is coming, and he's saying the right words, peace, peace, then the people are wide open to be deceived. to their very soul, the deception and the wound being to their soul and to the hurt of their soul. Fear not he who can destroy your body, but he that with his weapons can destroy your soul or put you in a position whereby your soul is in jeopardy. That is to say, you are in jeopardy of not having eternal life. Those possibilities are on the horizon, believe me. Tomorrow probably isn't today, nor the day after that, but I assure you. You know how far the horizon is out there? It's 12 miles, say, at sea. In other words, the Earth's curvature puts the horizon at 12 miles, and then it goes out of sight because this globe is round. The end is on or within sight of the horizon. The fig tree is shooting forth leaves with quite some age on them. And these events that are transpiring, and many will say, people have predicted the end of time. Yeah, God's Word has predicted the end of this earth age for many times. But your main key would be after the fig tree was set out as a shoot in Jerusalem. That happened in the year 1948. All scholars following the year 1948 have a great advantage over those that preceded, because it set. It was the opposite end of the spectrum of those things that set seasons, whereby the scholar could know that he was in that generation. So, be very careful, my friend. You are living in a very special time. You're living in a time that was written of long ago. I cannot help but take us to the fourth chapter of Jeremiah. I think that it is something you need to be well aware of, as you hear many signs, peace, peace, peace. I assure you, in this letter that God has written to you, that he shall do nothing that he has not already forewarned you of in this letter. The question is, have you read it? Have you read it with understanding? Okay, we're going to cover quite a bit of scripture, and I'm not going to spend too much time in making contact. Put yourself in this day, not tomorrow or not 2,000 years ago. Put yourself in this day and recall in your memory the news broadcast of the last week and hear the Word of God. Chapter 4 and verse 1 of the book of Jeremiah. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be, thou shalt not remove. In other words, you as an individual can make a difference. You as an individual, you choose your own destiny. It's up to you whether you are deceived or whether you're not, or are not. It's your choice. What is an abomination in God's eyes? Have you never heard of the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that the only abomination that Christ actually called an abomination, it was for, instead of Jesus, to stand in the holy place claiming to be God, or claiming to be Savior? That's the point we're addressing. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. In Abraham, the father of nations. That's what the word means in the Hebrew tongue, a blessing to all nations. If you will go back to my word, and if you will follow the key of David from Abraham forward, God says, I'll bless you. Do you think they're going to do it? No, they're not. As a matter of fact, great energy is set in motion and has been for quite some time to, if anything, delude, cloud the true key of David. Very few people even know who they are or whence they came. They're just here. That's all. Just here. Okay, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. This is the city where it's happening now. Call back the newscast of the past week. Historical meeting. A new era in this world. Statements, a benchmark. Well, they're true. Those statements are true. It truly is. And you're living on that day. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. If you in this chapel ever had an opportunity to break up fallow ground that God has given you such a huge field all around this globe that surely you can pick the spots, that are fallow, that too fallow. Surely, God will have those ears that he so intends to hear, and the others shall be skipped over. What an opportunity. What a blessing. What was the instruction for those that would see, and I'll zero this time in for you here in just a few moments, to continue sowing. Just because the end is coming, keep planting the crop, which simply means the truth. Some people have a destiny and a purpose, and they've known it since they were a child. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Not flesh. Your heart. That's both male and female. Your mind. Open your mind to the true Father, not the fake. Ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of evil, the evil of your doing. I tell you this, many people say, well, what is he? What is he really talking about? God in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel found a little spot. And he called it his favorite spot. And he symbolically took that spot to wife. He said, that's my favorite little old spot in the world right there. I love it. I take her to wife. I'm going to live there. When I retire, allow me, this is not sacrilegious. When I retire, that's my spot. That's where I'm going to settle down at, right there. She's mine. She's my wife. So don't any of you hanky with her. All right? Are you beginning to get the emotions of the Father that he wants you to receive from this place? I'm talking about Jerusalem. He said you were born of an unclean birth, meaning it was the city was called Jebus because the Jebusites founded her, established her. But then she became known as the city of David, the city of peace, Yahushalom. And so it goes. So, when he sees what's happening with his little spot today, with the high technology that we have, with so-called well-learned men sitting across from tables and deciphering this and that, hey, I can decipher it for them. It was written long ago exactly what's going to happen at those tables as well as the tables to come. But God will claim his little spot. But the point is this. What are you going to be doing meanwhile that you stay in good standing with him? He sees evil there today when that doesn't even belong. And soon that greater yet does not belong, which is to say, instead of Christ or Satan himself on that spot that God chose. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense to cities. In other words, there's a great woe coming, and people had better hunt for a place to get a wall to hide behind. Do you have to do that spiritually? You have one wall, my friend, and that wall is Almighty God, your Father. And I don't care if you're standing out here with not one material thing around you. When these events come to pass, you are as safe and as snug as a bug in a rug. You got no problems. You've got no fears. He is your wall. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. There are no giants in this world. We are the giants. We blow the trumpet. We sound the trumpet. We pass the sword. And they will take it. And some it will cut asunder. And some it will bring to truth. But you see, he tells us what to do. Sound the warning. We've been doing that for quite some time, so we should be in pretty good standing. I would imagine that's why we receive his blessings and the people, the thousands and hundreds of thousands that study with us. Verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. What is Zion? Zion is that mountaintop. That's his place. What is the standard? It's the Christian flag. It's the flag of Christ. Christ is our standard. He is our flag. That's what a standard is. Retire, stay not. That means it's a little bit, probably it would be better translated, regroup. You got to regroup every so often, because you'll get, as any time you gather in with large, from large areas, you get this doctrine and that doctrine, and you get some crumbs that you don't want. So every once in a while, you got to regroup a little bit. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Again, a destruction you don't have to worry about. That north is at a time just before he comes. That's not what you're concerned with right now. That's Armageddon, Haman God. The lion has come up from his thicket. That's to say the king of Babylon. Not the king of Babylon of old Nebuchadnezzar, but Satan. The destroyer, there he is identified, that's his name, of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. In other words, there will be very few true followers of the true Christ at that time. I know some commentators will give you a different commentary than this. That is fine. If you want to listen to them, listen to them. But you check it out for yourself. This is a type of exactly how it's going to be. For this gird ye with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the furious anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. When Satan sets his foot on God's virgin soil, God's anger shall begin to boil. His jealousy shall spew up. And it will not be long after that until he, the Father, shall return and destroy all your enemies. Then, not us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Where did we go wrong? Not true prophets. These are fakes. False prophets, false teachers, false ministers that will lead their entire churches into following the destroyer, thinking he is Christ, so that the block that was the chief cornerstone shall become the stumbling block. Well, what are we to warn the people about? He's telling you, friends. He's telling you. Then said I, this is Jeremiah speaking concerning what these fakes are saying, O Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. Boy, is it going to reach to the soul. God didn't tell them they were going to have peace. That's a lie. They are fakes. They are false. There were many prophets in Jeremiah's time, when you take the whole book in context, that said, there's not going to be a captivity. In 2 years, everything will be back plush again. When God himself had said there will be 70 years, always a bunch of false prophets around. God spoke to me this morning, and this is what he told me to tell you. All right? Anytime somebody says that to you, you better tighten your belt, friend. You better snug up. If it isn't written in here, I doubt very seriously that God spoke to them. That gets to be a byword with a lot of these funny bunnies, super spirituals. God seems to have so much time for them. That is not to say that God does not speak to people, for he has spoken to me, and I will listen to him. But he has never spoken to me that it was not written in his word as well. And I'll tell you something else. If God wants to speak to you, he knows where you are. Did you hear what I said? In this generation, you'd better learn a lesson the hard way. If God wishes to speak to you, he won't necessarily go through somebody else. He's got your chain, and he can pull it anytime he wants to. Study his word and be prepared. Well, does that mean there won't be prophets in the end times? Man, this book is full of them. We're reading one of them right now. But that is written. Anything that is given to you that is not written or cannot be documented. Do you understand what I'm saying in this word? I'm saying you had better check it out, friend, because we are living in the generation of deception, and many shall be deceived. Many that even call His name. Oh, Lord God, I called in, I healed in Your name. You don't understand, Jesus. And He says, get away from me. That day is coming. It's going to happen. Check it out, friend. It's your life. It's your soul. And this sword reaches all the way to the soul. We're not talking about cutting limbs. We're talking about touching hearts and souls, your very eternal life. Verse 11. At that time, shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Do you know what he's talking about, don't you? A dry wind is a harvest wind. Man, you can beat them old beans up, you know, and beat them out of the hulls and then hold them up like this and let them fall in the wind, winnows, or takes the hulls out, you know, the chaff, and you got that beautiful grain there. He said, this wind I'm going to blow on you, honey, ain't no harvest wind. That's not what I have in mind. I'm jealous, I'm angry, and I'm going to blow on you. Have you ever heard of the four spirits that are the four winds of Revelation 7 or Daniel 7? They're coming, friend. They won't bother you if you have the right wall. But he's warning Jerusalem. You can warn them today. As they sit around tables, you can warn them. The true wind is coming. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Actually, there is great controversy between scholars, and I tend to believe that by the Masora that this should be translated from me. Not unto me, but from me. Now, also will I give sentence against them. In other words, I've had it. That's what God is saying. I've had it, and this is the time of the sentence, which means what to you? Christ is going to return at that moment. That's it. Behold, he... Now, who is this he? It's the enemy. That's them. Shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled, meaning we are deceived. In other words, we revert back here to them, we the enemy. His deception, when he cries peace, his deception will be so bad. Bad, what is deception bad? It's going to be so convincing, that's what I'm saying. Many of your family members drawing right into it, my friends, and you might as well get set for it. Would that tempt you to see your loved ones who you love so very much? Would you follow them so you could be near them? Or would you make a stand? I don't know. It's something you should be thinking about, because that day also shall come. O Jerusalem, verse 14, wash thine heart from wickedness. What are you going to wash it in? The blood of the Lamb. Okay, let's pick this back up then, if we may. You're supposed to wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb. That's what you washed. That's the only way you can cleanse your heart, my friend, is to take self out of it and get into the blood of the Lamb. Man can think how important he is. And do I ever ask myself that? Hey, I am so awed by our Father and what He has done for us. I really don't have to too many times. And I thank God for that, because I, for one, stand in a position where you could really wrong it if you so wanted to. But it's my Father's position that put me here, and all of us here. And I respect that. I love Him for that. But you must be washed in His blood. It must be the thing that cleanses you. That thou mightest be saved, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? What? The lie, the deception. You might say, well, do Christians have that lie in their heart? Well, if you're going to fly away, friend, you got problems. You got a lie in your heart. And you got a bad problem. Because that old girl that was first flew out of the field in Matthew 24 flew right in. She was a Jezebel and flew right into Satan's bed. Boy, that's not a very Christian thing to do. All right? Just not a good Christian thing to do at all. You better get your mind straight. For a voice declareth from Dan and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. That's the 12 tribes and the one furthest to the north. Make ye mention to the nations. You publish it and you make mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Look at it today, friend. Watchers. Do you know what watchers are? Those are prophets. All right? A seer or a far watcher is the Greek word for prophet. I said Greek. Now, don't run to your Strong's and look up this Hebrew word. A seer. They claim to be, and they've gathered from around the world. Russia's ambassador came. Our president of this great nation, America, went. And they all gathered around the tables. And they were all giving their expert opinions and advice and prophecies concerning the peace. We have our own little Jimmy Baker that is baking up a mess, but it's all going to turn out all right. God planned it all the time anyway. That keeps baking and baking, and they keep breaking and breaking, and on it goes, all right? But what they should be saying there is aligning with God. Will they do that? You know they won't. If someone appeared on the scene and said, "My dear countrymen, nations of the world, may I read from the Word of God as to what's happening here?" Although that has been tried at one or two of the press conferences, it is a religious thing. You must understand that. I have great admiration for the little lady that heads the Palestinian people. She made it very clear that she was a Christian, that we in the West had no claims as far as the origin of Christian, because it began in Bethlehem where Christ was born, and she was one long, and her people long before some of the people in the West were even a nation. That Christianity began there. So, you know, there's been some interesting things have come from the seers and the watchers that have gathered concerning Jerusalem, even though they were in Madrid. 17, as keepers, that's to say shepherds, of a field, are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. What he's saying is, it doesn't only reach your heart, it reaches mine too. What God's saying, I'm observing, and it's getting all the way up here to me, and I'm getting tired of it. My bowels, translate it, my heart, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Do you hear the alarm of that war? You see, it has a trumpet also, the forewarning of it. And some of you have chosen to help sound that trumpet, and it's sounding. And it's going all the way around this world. Miracles of miracles, high technology, the Word of God. Am I saying we're the only ones doing it? Oh, no. No, I'm sure you hear many others every day. All right, verse 20. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. Yep. That moment's coming, and that's why we're talking about it. I don't want you to get to that moment and then say, well, I need to go back home and do some homework. I got to go back and figure this all out to make sure I know just where I'm at. Friend, with the events that are transpiring now, it's too late to do your homework. When this moment comes, you'd better burn a little oil between now and then if you're not familiar with this letter that God has written to you. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? This what really what this is saying in the Hebrew is, how long must this go on? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. This word sottish, it's very sweet the way the King James people translated it. It means stupid. How stupid are the children? And they have non-understanding. They are wise to do evil. That's to say the ways of this world, oh, they are ever wise in that. But to do good, they have no knowledge. And then you're all familiar with the next few verses. God says, once before I was angry, and I destroyed that earth age. I sunk it. It was the kaboom. It was at Satan's overthrow. Not talking about Noah's flood. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form. Tuhu in the Hebrew, meaning it had zilch. I destroyed it, and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. It was dark. I squashed it all. What he's saying, I'm angry now, or I'm about to get that way, and when these things come, I'm going to use the word mad at my stupid children that don't know A from Z. And if you think I won't, look what I did before. That's what he's saying. In other words, God's saying, I'm the one that caused it to be totally empty and nothing on it. Why? I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. I knocked them down. And lo, and all the hills moved lightly. I shook them good. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. I killed them all. I destroyed them all. We're talking about the first earth age now. And all the birds of heaven were fled. They were gone. Dead. There wasn't a pigeon to let, or a dove to let out of the ark. Friend, if you think this is Noah's flood, forget it. There was no buzzard to turn loose first. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His furious anger. You want to know how they were destroyed? By His furious anger. He said, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. No, there's a little remnant that has a wall around it. This time. Not this time we're speaking of here. But now, there is a remnant that has a wall around it. Why? They did their homework and they love God. They know what's going on in this world and they are not deceived. Does this mean all's going to hell but them? Not at all. God just simply intends to use them as shepherds. That was His statement. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have proposed it. Do you think it's going to happen? You better believe it's going to happen. I proposed it and will not repent. I'm not about to change my mind. Neither will I turn back from it. You can count on it, friend. It's going to happen. Old city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein, because of the deception. By peace shall destroy many. They're going to climb on his little old church altar until they're so deep they can't see light. But there's just one problem. It's Satan's altar, his bed, his spiritual bed. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson. In other words, you put on the most beautiful dress you can find. And he has changed here. The article is to the feminine, meaning his bride and his city. All right? Though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold. I mean, you put on every fancy piece of jewelry you have. Though thou rentest thy face with painting. I mean, you paint yourself up with everything, eyeshadow, makeup, I mean, just make yourself look as sweet as you can, dear. In vain, that means it's not going to help. In vain shalt thou make thyself fair, that means beautiful. Thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. In other words, you come to the wrong place to get married. In other words, she painted herself up in the first place like a harlot. And there's not going to be any way to go with it.
And then he explains, 31, "For I have heard a voice as a woman in travail." That means the birth of the new age, the end of this age. "Woe to those that are with child when I return. And the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hand, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers, because of deception, because of lies, and because of false prophets." Do you know the best defense against false prophets? It's real simple. If God needs you, He's got your chain. He knows where you're at. He has written you a letter explaining to you exactly whereby you could obtain wisdom and knowledge from Him as these events transpire. Any prophet you hear from here to the end, check him out. You should have been doing it long ago, but now especially, check him out. Does he align with the Word of God? Is that trumpet being sounded? There was another great teacher, real quickly in closing, Matthew chapter 10. Okay, Matthew 10. I turned over to Mark 10 and looked down, and it didn't jive. Verse 25. Christ is teaching. "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master." It should be that a pupil is like his teacher. That's what he has said. "And the servant as his Lord." If you serve the Lord, you should be somewhat like him. "If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub," if they have called the true Christ Satan or king of the dunghill, "how much more shall they call them of his household?" If you are of the Christian household, there is a time coming when they're going to say you're crazy. There is a time coming when they're going to say you're wrong, because they're going to be in the great pursuit of love and religion to worship the new system and its king, unfortunately the destroyer. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Do you understand that? God will make everything known to you through His Word. And yes, again, He knows where you are if He needs you. He's got your telephone number. And I'm saying that because beware of people that claim that God speaks to them every day. All right? Beware. I'm not saying don't believe them necessarily. I'm saying be careful. Because in the first place, God doesn't play any favorites. If He's got something to say to you, He'll say it. All right? He thinks you're pretty special too. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." What does that mean? Does that mean that God expects you, and I'm speaking to staff and chapel, as for we are all, whether you're a staff or whether you're just a member that helps keep that thing going. Did He say, "I'm going to give you something, just let her sit there and look at it and make a religion out of it, praise it"? He said, "Cry it, use it." That's what it's for. And when you meet some person that comes up and asks you a question about your father, and you have the ability from His Word to answer that person, you're blowing the trumpet. All right? "And what you hear in the ear, that preach you up on the housetops, and fear not them which kill the body." There are no giants out there, my friend, if you'll use your head, if you're wiser than the serpent, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That means to cause it to perish. The sword is the two-edged sword. It is the voice that must go out. Hey, it's pretty rough sometimes. And sometimes you have to be bold. But it is the Word of God. What did he say? They're going to love you for it. They're going to say, isn't that person just beautiful in Jesus? Is that what he said? No, I don't think he said that. He said, they hated me. They called me head of the dunghill. I could say it a little plainer if you wanted to. What do you think they're going to call you if you're teaching the real truth? So, don't be one of these little hothouse lilies that wilts the first time a little trouble comes along. Because you're going to see quite a bit of it if you allow it. And you can handle it. Because you're tough in Him. And He's your wall. And He told you, don't be afraid of them. They can't hurt you. Fear only He that can destroy your soul if you don't do it His way. In belief, faith, and love. Alright? Are not two sparrows... Again, he's going back to fear them not. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That's a tenth of a penny. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, without your Father's knowledge, without He knowing it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Is he talking about the enemy here? Uh-uh. He's talking about his disciples, those that love him and follow him. It doesn't matter that they call you a follower of the king of the dunghill. Let me emphasize, this shall come to pass. When the false Christ stands in Jerusalem claiming to be Jesus and the whole world whores after him, and you say, I serve a different Jesus, they're going to say, you serve Satan. That's what Beelzebub is. You might as well get set for it, my friend. But every hair on your head he has numbered, and he loves you for it. He will protect it. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to put my name on you. You're going to be my wife. And I'm going to provide for you and protect you forever. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It doesn't matter what they call you. I'm not telling you, nor is he, that you must become a religious fanatic. You're always supposed to be wiser than Satan and teach and act with dignity. Boldly, but with dignity. Documenting what you bring forth, whereby you cannot be called a loose cannon on the deck. All right? 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Did you hear that? They cry, peace, peace, peace. Jesus, the very Prince of Peace, states, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. And you're in the sword business, my friend. People don't often like a sword at first. But then when you learn the maturity that it can bring you, if it is the sword of the Lord, which is what? If you do not understand what I'm saying, make a side note of Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. I say again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. The very tongue of Christ, which is the Word of Christ, is a two-edged sword. That's what He brought. And it cuts both ways. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. I'm going to cause trouble in families. Why? Because the father's going to believe in Satan and the son's going to believe in the Lord. That causes trouble, unless there's a compromise. And there had better be no compromise in your book with Satan. Wisdom? Yes. Compromise? No. A man or a woman of wisdom can barter, discuss, swing vote, and educate, teach, even while this goes on. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. The real truth causes trouble in families. And a man's foes shall be them of his own household. It's going to cause trouble right in your own very family. Unfortunately, that hurts me more than any part of God's truth. But it's true. That's why it is written in many places. Unfortunately, in the English, if you don't hate your family and follow me. That isn't what it says in the manuscript. It said, if you don't love your family less than you love me. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy. Why? He died on the cross for you. And you're a sinner. You're not worth it. But he thinks so. He thinks so. That's why you got to love him more. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Do you know what a step that is? Oh, yeah, I've got one around my neck. No, that's not what it's talking about. Do you know why people picked up their cross? In the days that crucifixions were the order of the day for those that went against the government, when you picked up your cross, you were going up a hill, and they were going to nail you to it. In other words, he that is not in the frame of mind that he would follow me to the death, that means Christ, not a man. He can't handle you. He doesn't need you, because it's not going to be that. It's not going to be a picnic. And yet at the same time, the hair on your head is numbered, and there are no giants out there. And he'll protect you every step of the way. There is nothing to fear. But your mindset had better be prepared, or your little mind is going to get so shook up and scared without faith that you're going to believe them for a moment and blink. Don't let your knee bow. It has been forestated, it shall come to pass as it is written. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that tries to save his life from being nailed to that cross, this is not going to happen, but this is what he's saying. If you are threatened, they can't hurt you. He's already told you that. Unless you were one of the two witnesses, yeah, then you're going to be hurt. But they won't mind. He that findeth his life shall lose it. In other words, if you knuckle under, you lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We're one family in him, and he's in control. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now many are going to say, well, you were kind of coming down a little hard on the prophets there a moment ago. You bet, and you know something? I will continue to. What did I say? Ignore all prophets? No, I didn't say that. I said, check them out. Because you're going to run into more false than you're going to run into true between now and the end. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You're not going to lose your reward. And it may have sounded like I was saying, there are some that aren't. No. I'm just telling you, we're living in exciting times. Peace, peace, peace. It isn't something you read of in God's Word. You're reading it in every, almost daily, in newspapers, not only in this nation, but throughout this world. Wake up to the moment. It's a benchmark. We're looking at Jerusalem and the peace of Jerusalem. Is it that time that was spoken of, that peace, peace, peace would be cried in? No one knows. I'm only telling you that as a type, it has every ramification, and you had better take it very serious as far as watching what transpires. And this lecture was in case it should be. You know now what's expected of you. He does not expect you to bend or to be deceived. He expects you to be useful and to follow his footsteps, to follow as he would lead you. Be very careful. Don't listen to this teacher or any other teacher without checking him or her out in that word. For your word is the word of God. It is the sword. Always be ready and prepared to do that. But most of all, prepare yourself to follow him. Enjoy these days. It is not a time to fear, but to rejoice. I've been teaching for over 40 years now, or 40, 41, something like that. And I have known from the first year or so pretty well how these events would come to pass and taught it that long ago. Does that mean I'm something extra special? No, it's God's Word that taught it then. It hasn't been changed. It was there all the time. But it does mean that I have looked forward to this day for a long, long time. What's 40 years? Well, wait till you get my age, it's quite a few, okay? But it's a long time to wait. And I love it. I rejoice when that teletype on Reuters wire service clicks off another one. And we move one day closer. It is an exciting time, and I love it. It's a challenge. Don't be afraid of the end times. They're a most beautiful time. If you have the standard, if you are in Him, when you see His Word coming to pass, when you see that is written jump to life on the very pages of print in news around this world, know this, God's Word is true. And you were correct in accepting it as your way of life. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, Father. Oh, what a precious letter, Lord, that You would unveil and reveal all these things to us, Father, through Your Word and those You send, Father. We just love You for that and thank You for it. Father, we thank You for this new step that we take out, Father, into the world at this point. Though not being that much different, we know benchmarks are benchmarks. Be with us. We ask it, use us. It is a pleasure serving Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.